The silence stretched. Finally, Al added one more sentence that I have been thinking about ever since. "And if you did it again," he said, "we would have to kill you again." We stared at each other for some time after that, each convinced, I am sure, that the other was a total idiot. Day 104. Each new revelation adds to my confusion. The absence of children here has bothered me since my first day in the village. Looking back through my notes, I find frequent mention of it in the daily observations I have dictated to my comlog, but no record of it in the personal mishmash here that I call a journal. Perhaps the implications were too frightening. To my frequent and clumsy attempts at piercing this mystery, the 60 have offered their usual enlightenment. The person questioned smiles beatifically and responds in some non sequitur that would make the babble of the web's worst village idiot seem like sage aphorisms in comparison. More often than not, they do not answer at all. One day I stood in front of the one I have tagged as Dell, stayed there until he had to acknowledge my presence and asked, "Why are there no children?" "We are the 60, he said softly. "Where are the babies?" No response. No sense of evading the question, merely a blank stare. I took a breath. "Who is the youngest among you?" Dell appeared to be thinking, wrestling with the concept. He was overmatched. I wondered if the Bikura had lost their time sense so completely that any such question was doomed. After a minute of silence, however, Dell pointed to where Al was crouched in the sunlight, working with his crude hand loom, and said, "There is the last one to return." "To return?" I said. "From where?" Dell stared at me with no emotion, not even impatience. "You belong to the cruciform," he said. "You must know the way of the cross." I nodded. I knew enough to recognize that in this direction lay one of the many conversational, illogic loops that usually derailed our dialogues. I hunted for some way to keep a grasp of the thin thread of information. "Then Al," I said and pointed, "is the last to be born, to return. But others will." "Return?" I was not sure that I understood my own question. How does one inquire about birth when the interviewee has no word for child and no concept of time? But Dell seemed to understand. He nodded. Encouraged, I asked, "Then when will the next of the 60 be born? Return?" "No one can return until one dies," he said. Suddenly, I thought I understood. "So, no new children. No one will be returned until someone dies," I said. "You replace the missing one with another to keep the group at 60. Dell responded with the type of silence I had come to interpret as assent. The pattern seemed clear enough. The Bikura were quite serious about their 60. They kept the tribal population at 70. The same number recorded on the passenger list of the dropship that crashed here 400 years ago. Little chance of coincidence there. When someone died, they allowed a child to be born to replace the adult. Simple. Simple but impossible. Nature and biology do not work that neatly. Besides the problem of minimum herd population, there were other absurdities. Even though it is difficult to tell the ages of these smooth-skinned people, it is obvious that no more than 10 years separates the oldest from the youngest. Although they act like children, I would guess their average age to be in the late 30s or mid-40s in standard years. So where are the very old? Where are the parents, aging uncles, and unmarried aunts? At this rate, the entire tribe will enter old age at approximately the same time. What happens when they all pass beyond childbearing age and it comes time to replace members of the tribe? The Bakura lead dull, sedentary lives. The accident rate, even while living on the very edge of the cleft, must be low. There are no predators. The seasonal variations are minimal, and the food supply almost certainly remains stable. But granted all this, there must have been times in the 400-year history of this baffling group when disease swept the village, when more than the usual number of vines gave way and dropped citizens into the cleft, or when something caused that abnormal cluster of sudden deaths that insurance companies have dreaded since time immemorial. And then what? Do they breed to make up the difference and then revert to their current sexless behavior? Are the Bakura so different from every other recorded human society that they have a rutting period once every few years? Once a decade? Once in a lifetime? It is doubtful. I sit here in my hut and review the possibilities. One is that these people live very long lifetimes and can reproduce during most of that time, allowing for simple replacement of tribal casualties. Only this does not explain their common ages. And there is no mechanism to explain any such longevity. The best anti-aging drugs the hegemony has to offer only manage to extend an active lifetime a bit over the 100 standard year mark. Preventive health measures have spread the vitality of early middle age well into the late 60s, my age, but except for clonal transplants, bioengineering, and other perks for the very rich, no one in the world web can expect to begin planning a family when they are 70, or expect to dance at their 110th birthday party. If eating chalma roots or breathing the pure air of the Pinyin Plateau had a dramatic effect on retarding aging, it would be a sure bet that everyone on Hyperion would be living here munching chalma, that this planet would have had a Farcaster centuries ago, and that every citizen of the hegemony who has a universal card would be planning to spend vacations and retirement here. No. A more logical conclusion is that the Bakura live normal-length lives, have children at a normal rate, but kill them unless a replacement is required. They may practice abstinence or birth control other than slaughtering the newborn, until the entire band reaches an age where new blood will soon be needed. A mass birthing time explains the apparent common age of the members of the tribe. But who teaches the young? What happens to the parents and other older people? Do the Bakura pass along the rudiments of their crude excuse for a culture and then allow their own deaths? Would this be a true death, the rubbing out of an entire generation? Do the 70 murder individuals at both ends of the bell-shaped age curve? This type of speculation is useless. I am beginning to get furious at my own lack of problem-solving skills. Let's form a strategy here and act on it, Paul. Get off your lazy Jesuit ass. Problem: how to tell the sexes apart. Solution: cajole or coerce a few of these poor devils into a medical exam. Find out what all the sex role mystery and nudity taboo is about. A society that depends upon years of rigid sexual abstinence for population control is consistent with my new theory. Problem: why are they so fanatical about maintaining the same 70 population that the lost dropship colony started with? Solution: keep pestering them until you find out. Problem: where are the children? Solution: keep pressing and poking until you find out. Perhaps the evening excursion down the cliff is related to all of this. There may be a nursery there, or a pile of small bones. Problem: what is this belong to the cruciform and way of the cross business, if not a contorted vestige of the original colonists' religious belief? Solution: find out by going to the source. Could their daily descent down the cliff be religious in nature? Problem: what is down the cliff face? Solution: go down and see. Tomorrow, if their pattern holds true, all 70 of the 70 will wander into the woods for several hours of foraging. This time, I will not go with them. This time, I am going over the edge and down the cliff.